Blog Talk Radio.
Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we have... The battle has been joined.
Oh, boy.
Well...
Which particular battle?
Well, there's a whole lot of things going on tonight.
Yeah,
most
yeah.
Most people are paying a lot of attention to a lot of them. And, you know, I don't know that it's going altogether the way I would like it to be going.
Hmm.
I want to start off in South Carolina. Let's talk about some of the election stuff that's going on. Most of the stuff on the East Coast is not yet finished reporting. It probably will while we're on. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
the stuff out your way is just getting started.
Yep, I mean, we're still voting. Got another hour to go here.
So, South Carolina, governor, Republican primary, you know, apparently Haley is going to run just a hair short of getting 50% of the vote.
Oh, dang. She was so close, too.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, she's at 48.8% right now. I mean, that's 1.2% from avoiding a runoff. They're calling it that it's going to be a runoff.
Yeah, yep.
So there doesn't appear to be much of a chance there. And that kind of worries me a little bit because I think she's got all the votes she's going to get.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well, that was a pretty crowded field. There was, what, four or five others in there?
There's three others in there, but all three of the others have gotten really dirty hands, you know, trying to smear her over
mm-hmm.
the last 3 weeks. And I don't think anybody that, you know, is voting for them are going to be interested in voting for her. You know, I could be wrong. You can certainly make an argument that, you know, there's 1% of the people that just didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Which is probably true.
Yeah, probably.
but, I mean, a lot of that crap came out, and as far as I could tell, South Carolina was just an absolute, you know, gutter fight, you know,
as far as what
the other sides were doing. So, you know, the fact that she got 48.8 speaks extremely highly of the fact that she's probably, you know, going to be the Republican nominee.
Yep. Yep.
Which is good. Which is good because I think I've heard that she, like, destroys the Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, in polling.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I think that's a pretty good thing. You know, we'll see. There's other some races there. There, you know, Jim DeMint's got, you know, just locked up his, so that's not a big deal there.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey, you know, I don't know enough about those races, but it looks like, you know, most of those races are running to the incumbents. I don't know how good or bad that is. So
I don't know either.
Yeah, so I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on there. You know, the governor there is absolutely dominating that state right now. So I don't think anybody that's fighting him is actually going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see. And then, you know, I wish Butch would call. But it would be helpful if Butch called. He could talk something about Virginia and see what's going on there. I don't think there's any big surprises in there, but you know, we'll let him give us some idea of how that goes. Maybe we can get him on next week and we can talk a little bit about some of the results there.
Mm-hmm,
see if there's
mm-hmm.
some in sure. keeping with what we want to do. And, of course, the one interesting thing that doesn't have anything to do with our side is going on in Arkansas.
Oh, with Senator Lincoln?
Yes, Branch Lincoln. Lincoln looks like she's going to hang on. And I think that was, I think that's actually a big loss for Obama.
Oh, yeah. Although, you know, there's only, I mean, it's 53-47 with only 9% of the votes in. So I'm,
I've got it at a third of the votes are in and 51-48. It's actually pretty tight.
Yeah.
You know, with a third of the votes in there. I mean, if it flips over, you know, and she loses, then I think it's a win for Obama and a really big loss for the Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh, although I'm not sure how you get a win for Obama, but that's okay.
Well, because I think he actually sent, you know, his minions out to get rid of her.
Oh, really?
I was reading, maybe I was reading it wrong, the unions came really out big for Halter, really big.
Yeah, big
you
time
know?
Big.
And that,
yeah.
That suggests to me that they had the blessing of the White House to do that.
Yeah, except that Bill Clinton was out there stumping for Lincoln.
Which just calls into question the whole thing with CSAC. It just absolutely just doesn't make sense at all.
I know.
You know, we talked about that last week, and it's, you know, after letting it sit and stew, you know,
yep.
it's been, you know, like a piece of nice raw meat left out in the sun for a week.
Yeah.
You know, it hadn't gotten any better.
Yep. Yep.
It's still not sitting well. California, what do you think, dude? It's your home state, big deal.
Oh, man. God, I am crossing my fingers for Chuck DeVore. The word that I'm hearing is that turnout is exceptionally low. If that's true, Chuck has got a really great shot at catching it. If it's not true, that gets a whole lot more problematical. As far as the governor's race is concerned, Jerry Brown has got his locked up. I mean, that's not even a question as to who's going to run on that side. So then the question becomes Poizner or Whitman. I didn't vote for either one of them. But, you know, one or the other of those two are gonna capture it, so we'll see what happens then. I already have some ideas, though, about how you can attack Brown, you know. I mean, he's got a record to run on that he's got to run against now, and I'm not sure he can do that really well. So we'll see. It's going to be close no matter how it goes. The other thing that I would like to point out to everybody, folks, these are the primaries. And, yeah, we're fighting amongst ourselves. You know, New Jersey had three Tea Party candidates that were running and weren't able to upset the incumbent. But that's probably because there were three of them, and I haven't looked at those vote tallies, but my guess would be if you took all of their vote tallies, that would make it a pretty close race if it was a one-on-one kind of a thing. But remember that these are, in fact, primaries. We're talking about our candidates for Republicans. The November elections are the ones that count. So... Y'all need to pick your conservative candidates. You need to get in back of them. Let the rhinos and the squishes go. You know, however that turns out, that's the way it's going to turn out. But if we got a hope on this thing, it's that we can, in fact, get actual conservatives elected.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we look at it in the sense that the primaries are for the Tea Party to see, you know, how much oomph they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the answer is much at this point.
No.
At the same token, I would suggest to you that the Tea Parties are, everybody knows my opinion about the Tea Parties has been along, and I really, really wanted to embrace them and be able to say positive things about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time with it.
Yeah.
And the problem with it is, this is what my problem is. I do not like people voting based on issues. If you vote on issues, what you end up with is, Scott Brown in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with Scott Brown in Massachusetts because, you've got a Republican in a seat that's been held by a Democrat for 50 years.
Yep.
Okay. That's a positive thing. But anyone that believes for an instant that Scott Brown is a Tea Party conservative...
No. Not going to... That isn't there.
Not even there. And the Tea Party conservatives supported him on the premise that he would be a vote against Obamacare. And that's a vote for an issue.
Mm-hmm.
He ran on that issue, and Obamacare is still the law of the land.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and now we've got, not a conservative in that position. It certainly can be made the argument that we're still better off than we were.
Mm-hmm.
Purest heart does not settle well with that particular point of view. So.
Well, I agree. I mean, but the fact is, Scott Brown is probably as conservative as we can elect in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You're not suggesting that I should think about it pragmatically, are you?
No, what I'm saying is, for those others out there listening, you and I have the same belief. We will never again vote for the lesser of two evils. For those people who do think pragmatically, Scott Brown was the best you could hope for. That's pure and simple. That's it.
No, I agree. If I was voting... If I was in Massachusetts and voting, I would probably have voted for him.
Hmm. Okay.
Only to break the back of the Democrats there.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know that it would be pragmatic. It certainly wouldn't be principled.
No.
But. I've tried to make this distinction. When it comes to local elections, I think I'm going to have to be pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to local stuff.
Yep.
Because I need to get somebody that's going to at least, work in the general direction that I want them to work.
Exactly.
When it comes to, the presidency, no.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to hold that kind of position when it comes to senators too.
Yeah, I'm when you say local, for me that says, okay, who's the sheriff gonna be? Who's the auditor gonna be? Who's that kind of thing at the county level.
Everything in the state.
Yeah. If you start talking about national offices, whether that be a House of Representatives or whether that be a senator or whether that be a president, it doesn't make any sense to vote for a squish or a rhino if you're a conservative. Makes no sense at all because you've got a squish or a rhino.
My problem is the House.
Well.
Senate, not a problem. I can stand against any rhino in the Senate, avoid the lesser of two evils in the Senate. I don't have any problem with that. House is a slightly different animal. I don't know. I'm going to be faced with this decision in November. Mm-hmm. It's not one that I'm looking forward to having to deal with. Because, by November, I'm going to be dealing with exactly the same people you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to have a chance to deal with it here at the primary. I'm going to have to deal with whatever you guys decide at the primary level, and I'm going to have to work with that.
Yep.
So,
we're doing our best, Tracy.
I'm not going to be able to sit there and easily, I'm going to vote for Carly over, Barbara Boxer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a lesser of two evils there.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
A Boxer is really big evil, and, at this point, Carly's pretty sizable evil.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking,
Oh, man.
Boxcars, locomotives, train weights.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go back and look here. Let's do a little update here. 95% of the precincts in South Carolina governor. Haley is at 49%. So she's 1 point off. That's a slight improvement, but whether she can actually, she's not going to make up. She's made up 0.2 of a point in the last 5% of precincts. I don't think it's going to happen. That's why they're calling it the way they did. They obviously know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
Arkansas, Lincoln is up, still up 51-49 with 44% in. So that's that. We'll come back and look at those in a little while. I want to talk to you a little bit about something that has been going on for the last couple of days. And I think that might be of some interest because it's kind of a philosophical, and then we'll get into some of the ass-kicking presidents things going on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
For the last 3 days, I've been working with some people in the American Conservative Party on some philosophical underpinnings.
Okay.
And the issue we were discussing is the distinction between principles and policies. One of the points that I tried to make was that a principle is a governing, is a framework for making decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is how you make decisions. In a certain regard, it may tell you in what way decisions should be made. No, let me rephrase that. The framework tells you how to make decisions. It doesn't necessarily tell you what decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And our problem, and I think this applies to a whole lot of people, is that we think of positions, policies, as our principles. And if I could replace the word policy with issues, that probably makes it clearer for most people that the two are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to actually structure principles it's really easy to start making statements about policy.
Yes.
And I don't.
Yes.
I think too many of us, and this is the point I made today, too many of us have learned, have done things in a certain way for so long that we don't know how to separate the two. And the American Conservative Party, fundamentally, is
mm-hmm.
about how to deal with the two as a separate thing. I think the American Conservative Party, one of the things that I wanted to do with it was to try and get people to begin the process of
mm-hmm.
becoming good, solid citizens again, and having those sets of principles, those foundations that govern how you're going to vote, how you're going to, you know, consider questions of voting, and then, you know, the application of those principles, you know, becomes, you know, the policies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a more difficult time thinking about it because I was having a difficult time trying to explain it, even at that point. Maybe you understand. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm not being clear. That's fine.
Yeah.
Over the next couple of months, we will continue to work on that, and maybe I can be more explicit about how it is. I think what I want you guys, everyone, to understand is that policies are not principles.
Actually, it works the other way around. Principles
correct.
Should drive policy.
That's correct. Principles
yeah.
should drive policy.
Yes.
You can have policy in absence of principles. Well, we call that Congress.
Yes, we do. Particularly this Congress.
But you cannot have principles. Well, that's not true. Shut up. You're trying to be
yeah, I see. Okay.
Stuck
yeah.
at doing it when it comes
you were going to try and state the reverse of all that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not really good at that. I'm much better doing it in writing than I am in speaking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's yeah. get away from some of the philosophical stuff.
Okay.
And all the elections, because, you know, Barack Obama, wow, I didn't have to think about that his name just came out like that.
Wow.
I know it's supposed to come out like that. But I didn't
yeah.
actually think about it.
Hmm.
Barack Obama got all cowboyish the
he
other day.
He did. He cowboyed up.
And it kind of looked like Roy Rogers.
Oh, God.
You know?
Or Gail Evans.
Really
Evans,
nice
you know, one or the other.
Lots of makeup. Because... let me tell you, it didn't come across as anything really serious.
No. I mean, you know, Barry Obama is so inept that he couldn't kick ass if he was the only guy in a broom closet.
He couldn't kick ass if he was kneeling down with his
feet. Yeah, I know. and it's ludicrous to try and think of him as that or that way. It is. I mean, picture Barry kicking somebody's ass. Maybe a third grader, I don't know. But picture him trying to kick an adult's ass. That ain't going to happen. So when he uses that imagery to try to burnish his credentials as to being on top of it all he does is point out what his frailties and shortcomings are.
Right. It just continues to enhance this entire idea that in his particular case, on the job training has failed.
Oh, man. Big time.
And any attempt, this is worse than Dukakis's, you know.
Oh, tank moment?
Tank
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
This is worse than Carrie's carrying a gun hunting
oh.
moment.
Yeah, and saluting and reporting for duty. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is almost the attack of the rabbit.
Almost, yeah. And for those of you who do not get that reference, the peanut guy, Jimma Carter, was attacked by a mad rabbit as he was canoeing on a lake.
Yeah, he tried
just
to
so
beat it off.
Yeah, oh, yeah, with his paddle or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, boy.
He comes across as pathetic. It's not real. It's and somebody else made the comment today.
Mm.
He was, from his own words, he was suggesting that he wasn't talking to the experts about how to fix the problem. He was talking to the people on, you know, in place, to figure out who to blame.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then has the temerity to holler at BP for lawyering up after he sicked his Justice Department on him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to have them come
yeah.
after you legally. Okay, well,
yeah.
you can talk to my lawyers. Oh, what's the matter with you? You got something to hide?
Yeah, exactly. Lawyer up. Okay, we see how you are. Uh-huh. You betcha. I mean,
right.
first off, that doesn't solve what the problem is. The problem is we got a blown-out well 5,000 feet deep in the damn Gulf of Mexico spewing oil and all of the attendant problems that come along with that. Fix the damn problem. Then you can figure out who to go after.
Okay.
I got that off my chest. I'm okay now.
No, I agree. It is, you know, people want him to be mad and angry and do something. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not all a big fan of the idea of, you know, doing something because, you know, I have a big problem with that.
Right, exactly.
But at the same token, you know, he could be doing things that would be helpful. And I ask this, you know, he's still sitting in Washington. The people trying to fix this are still sitting in Washington.
Yes.
You know, the problem is in the Gulf of Mexico. Get your asses down to the Gulf of Mexico and sit down there and you figure out something to do with it.
Exactly. I mean, if nothing else, wash off a bird.
Oh, he can't get his fingers dirty. You know, he had a manicure the other day.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh, man. Oh, God. It just doesn't make sense to me. As everything about this administration doesn't make sense to me. You know, we have a defined problem. I mean, we know what the problem is. Fix it. That's all. Just fix it. Do something productive, not hollering at folks. Just do something productive. I mean, who was a tweet I think I saw, but maybe it was someplace else. But the Saudis had a big oil spill. They brought in 50 super tankers to basically vacuum up the sludge and the stuff, reclaim what they could, and dispose of the rest semi-responsibly. How come that isn't happening in the Gulf? I mean, do we have something against super tankers? I mean, is there some kind of a travel prohibition on them so they can't drive around in the damn middle of the Gulf?
You
do
know,
something.
I don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah.
No, it does look like a significantly half-assed effort to do this.
Yep, absolutely.
It looks like, you know, if we just let them alone, maybe they'll come up with a solution. Because by the time we actually do all kinds of work to come up with a solution, they all figured one out anyway, so why bother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if I were Governor Jindal, I'm not, but if I were, I would say, you know what, to hell with you people. I'm doing what it takes to try to mitigate the damage to my state. Y'all can come along later and figure out if I was right, wrong, or indifferent. He needs to just do it. He needs to not wait around for 15 different federal agencies to give him an okay. He just needs to do it.
Right. Easier and, to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I don't know the details of these sand berms that they're talking about in terms of protecting the marshes and the islands and that kind of stuff. But I will tell you that is a whole lot better, and the environmental damage is much, much less than letting that oil come ashore.
Right.
Much less. But that isn't happening. Well, it's happening, as is true for most of this administration, in an incremental, half-assed manner. Oh, yes. Well, we finally approved 4 of 20 sand berms. Oh, boy. Thank you so damn much.
It's like the stimulus.
Yep.
Oh, we passed that now, so let it work. And then move on to something else. It's like they made a decision, and then they've moved on without reflecting on whether anything is working.
Exactly. And as is apparent, it ain't working. Did you see that latest jobs report?
Oh yeah, that we're getting there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
we're gonna get there.
Yeah. Okay.
I noticed something going into Memorial Day weekend, and we're a couple weeks past. Were gas prices going up or down going into Memorial Day weekend for you?
They went up some.
They're going down here. They went down here about 20 cents.
Wow.
Before Memorial Day.
Wow.
3 weeks before Memorial Day, they went down about 20 cents.
Hmm.
Now, they've rebounded some from that. But it was kind of strange because it was going in the wrong direction. At usually, you know, 4 or 5 cents a week going into, you know, the holiday weekend. It was going the other way. It was stable. Big drop going into it. The stock market has kind of taken a little bit of a smackdown. It had a good day today. I don't think anybody at this particular point, I think Thursdays and Fridays for the next month or so are going to be horrible days to be in the market.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, on Wednesday you sell and on Monday you buy. Thursday and Friday people are going, yeah, I don't think I want to be in there over the weekend.
No. No.
Which country said it on Friday that they are close to default? Was that Poland? Or was it somebody else?
No, it wasn't Poland.
And then they spent all weekend retracting it.
Yeah, right. Oh, dang. I'm not coming up with it, Tracy.
I went looking for it, and I'm on the wrong computer to be able to go looking for it, because that's in other stuff.
Ooh! Hey! Blanche Lincoln is losing by about 1%. I just picked that up on a tweet from Arkansas Traveler.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's
how
a political stance.
Yeah, yeah.
Political still has her up by a point and a half.
Yeah, well.
Well, we can all be happy.
Yeah, yeah. Arkansas Traveler is there in Arkansas, so I'm going with the Arky.
Yeah, got to listen to the people on the ground.
There you go.
Those are the people that need to be telling us what's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got you off track there.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
well,
I
let's
did.
Let's go on to what I was going to say is that the markets are all over the place.
Yes, they are.
And I think everybody is nervous as hell. I think everybody is now where you and I are.
I think they're getting
shoes
there.
Drop, just mm-hmm. Where is it going to fall?
Yep. Yep.
And I think everybody's waiting for it to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Do you know what a black swan event is?
I've heard the term. I'm not sure I'm understanding it completely.
Black swan is an unexpected event in a set of circumstances you were prepared to deal with unexpected events.
Hmm, okay.
In other words, we assume that, unemployment is going to be bad and, we'll only see a couple thousand jobs and then it's bad, but for all the reasons we didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's generally a huge, big problem, not just we missed it by a little bit. It's a big thing. All right. Unemployment went up 441,000 jobs for May. No, 431. It was 431,000. 411,000 of those jobs were census workers.
Okay.
Federal government jobs. Here's the kicker. Okay, because it's not just the idea that almost all of them were census jobs. The birth-death model added 250,000 jobs to that number.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, for those of you that don't know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has a little machine, a little black box.
Yeah, right.
People who lost their job started a business. And because they are by themselves or very, very small, we can't tell exactly what's going on there yet, but we know it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to add a certain number of jobs for those people that go out and start a business. And, of course, some businesses fail, so the birth-death model is a way to capture sole proprietors or very, very, very small businesses that are started when people lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or who businesses that fail and then become employees for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with it is, for those of you that don't recall, in February, they made an adjustment for the 2009 period, and they wiped out, roughly speaking, 900,000 jobs that they were overcounting.
Yes.
Because
I remember that well.
Because of this birth-death model.
Mm-hmm.
The birth-death model, and it doesn't, you can't just add and subtract because it doesn't quite work that way, but 250,000 jobs in the birth-death model would suggest that even though there was some growth, then, in fact, there was none.
Mm.
By a pretty significant margin if you take out the census workers. And so while everybody's kind of going, well, that's not quite as good as we expected, it's not good at all.
Yeah, like by a bunch.
Like by a bunch. So, it's one of those situations where we're looking at numbers. They're absolutely going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
In August and September, the 650, I think it's 650, yeah, about 650,000 jobs that the federal government has created to do census work, because I think it was like 250,000 jobs in April and then the 400,000 jobs in May. Those jobs will be gone by September. so most of them will be gone in August.
Yep.
That number is going to, no matter what happens, you know, people will do all kinds of, well, it's just the census workers. But I'm kind of suggesting to you right here, right now, that we may see a down number of in the vicinity of
850,000. Ooh. Ow.
850,000 jobs lost in August would be a staggering number.
Oh, yeah.
Staggering number. And you can spin it any way you want, but the market absolutely understood what the issue was on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and they went, yeah, 431,000 jobs, yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, it did.
So when August comes around and it goes negative 850,000 jobs, I don't think you want to be, not only do you not want to be in the market, you know,
mm-hmm.
come the end of August, beginning of September,
yep. mm-hmm.
I don't think you want to be in the state of New York.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because that explosion may absolutely take out New York City. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 500-600 point move in the market down.
You know, that's certainly possible. When you couple the EU problems, and they have got massive problems, that they are only now beginning to spout some rhetoric about, along with our own internal problems in terms of employment or lack thereof, it's really easy to see that kind of movement downward in the stock market. You know, and that's going to affect everybody. I mean, whether you're in the market or not, if you are an employed person, you best be checking your hold card. If you are not employed, don't look for that to get any better anytime soon. If you own a house and you got a loan, good luck, friend.
Did you catch what I asked earlier on? When did I ask this?
I don't know.
Actually, I think I asked this morning. Is that today? Yeah, it was this morning. I said, are you ready for a recession that makes 2008, 2009 look like 2 days at Walmart without sale prices?
Yeah, I thought that. Jeez. that's a really good analogy.
That is a really good analogy. You know, literally, the bottom could fall out.
Yes, it can. Yep. You know, and then that starts to call into question a whole lot of things. More things than I think that this administration is going to be able to have a handle on. I mean, I don't believe that they can. I don't know that they have got a way to spin anything that will even ameliorate that problem. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to try. But I'm just sitting here saying, what in the world do you say about something like that? Other than blame it on George Bush.
Right now, the total budget deficit so far, I think, is over $1 trillion so far this year.
Oh, it's 2.3. Yes, it is.
If it's over $2 trillion, then they've got nowhere to go with money.
Oh no, they haven't had anywhere to go with money in quite a while.
Yeah, they've got nowhere to go with money. Well, it's not even if they had money, they got nowhere to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing that they can throw money at that's going to make any difference at this point, especially given the fact that he's just laid off 300,000 workers off the Gulf Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Incidentally, did you catch a spin on that?
No.
He Obama laid off 300 and some odd thousand people in the Gulf Coast. The MMS is saying, well, we're really only talking about the deep wells. We're going to still continue to allow the shallow wells to be drilled. We will see where that goes.
But they're not drilling anything in the shallow waters.
No, they aren't. Gee, funny of that.
Everything is being drilled in deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know,
they
and
can't
I wonder. I wonder whose bright idea it was that said, "Oh gosh, we'll just put them way on out there in really deep water, instead of letting them drill on land, where if there is an accident, we can clean it up pretty good." Whose bright idea was that?
Someone that didn't want to have their beach ruined.
Apparently. Apparently.
I'm a beach ruined.
That's right.
The,
oh, I don't want to see those ugly things out there. No. You guys go away. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not going to have any money. Even if they had the money, they got nowhere to throw it.
Yep.
Even if they had money and they had an idea where to throw it, it's not going to help a whole lot because they're going to be pushing on a string.
Absolutely.
Because with that many people out of work and continuing that particular pressure, nobody's going to be hiring. Nobody's going to be doing anything. The summer housing market will be winding down,
mm-hmm.
Which means the summer construction season will be winding down.
Mm-hmm.
All we need to do is have a little bit of global warming in September, like, you know, snow in the plains.
Mm.
And, you know, let's let summer come to an abrupt end in half the country.
Yeah.
Frankly, I might even be in trouble because there'll be so many people going broke so badly that they won't even be able to go bankrupt because they'll be so broke.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
yep.
Here, I want
yep.
you to know that I'm actually optimistic about all of that.
Oh, you think they're going to have enough money to pay you?
No, I'm optimistic.
Oh,
all the things
okay.
that we just spent the last 20 minutes talking about,
yeah.
I'm actually optimistic about those things. Even
really?
Though I've been apparently pessimistic about it and saying about all the bad things that can happen,
mm-hmm.
I think we're actually going to skate past some of those things. And, you know, kind of like, you know, we got walked past the guard dog without waking it up.
Ah, really? And just how do you think that's going to happen?
Because I think everyone else's attention is going to be somewhere else.
Everybody's pension is going to be somewhere else.
Yeah, everybody's attention is going to be somewhere
else.
Oh,
attention.
Else.
I'm sorry. I thought you said pension, and I'm sitting here saying, okay, tell me how that computes here. So everybody's attention is going to be someplace else other than on economic stuff?
Yep. Believe it or not, as bad as all the economic stuff is going to be, I think the attention is going to be somewhere else.
Hmm. Is this like a wag the dog story or something?
Oh, no.
No?
No, because I think right now, today, there are two incredibly stupid people in charge of two rather large militaries that for some particularly bizarre reason are going to be interested in using them badly.
Ooh.
I honestly believe that Iran is going to be stupid enough to send one or two of its warships to Turkey to float with a couple of the Gaza blockade running ships.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be stupid enough to do it.
Really? But
here's where the other stupid person comes into it. I think the other stupid person is Barack Obama, and he's going to let him do it.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
And then there will be absolutely, positively, no choice. That sometime in the next 45 days, for all practical purposes, there will be a state of war between Iran and Israel. A real shooting state of war. Because I think Israel will sink the ships.
We can only hope.
And I think Barack Obama is going to stand aside.
He's going to vote present? Or do you think that's going to be calculated?
I think he's going to vote president. He's going to vote president.
Yeah, right.
I'm president.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... what's going to happen is that Iran is going to send one or two of their ships. They're going to escort a Gaza blockade flotilla. Probably call it five ships.
Mm-hmm.
Call it six or seven total. And when Israel steps in front of those flotillas and tells them you can't,
mm-hmm.
I think the Iranians will open fire. I think they'll be smart enough not to actually, fire to sink. I think they'll fire warning shots, and then I think Israel just responds and just sinks them.
Well, we can hope.
And then people will say, "Well, they just fired warning shots. Israel was the belligerent one."
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, that's the story that's going to go around anyway. So screw them.
And then what you end up with is a full-on shooting war between Israel and Iran. I think at that point, all bets are off, and I think everybody will wait for the next thing to happen, and I think that actually may take some time.
Hmm. That's an interesting scenario.
I think it'll actually take a little bit of time for them to make a decision on what they're going to do after that. Let's catch up on primary. Go ahead.
Iran really doesn't want to go to war with Israel.
Oh, I think they do.
Let me put it this way. A sane and serious country would really not want to go to war with Israel.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's certainly true.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we don't have one of those over there.
No, we don't. Well, we do have one, but it's one we're pretty much ignoring right now. Israel.
Yeah, so that's kind of my position at this particular point in time.
Yeah.
And, of course, North Korea is doing all kinds of stupid things that suggest that, sometime really soon, like, before winter, when I think it's possible that without anybody realizing it, they might lose a million or two people over the winter to starvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that before winter sets in, I think North Korea is going to pick a fight with South Korea. I think they've already done it. I think everyone is just kind of like going, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the South Koreans are going, but they did. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going, no, they couldn't. They really, really
No, they couldn't have done that.
They couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I think they have. And I think they'll be more aggressive even the second time around. And it'll be very clear that... my problem is at this particular point in time, if the economy may become second fiddle to what's going on, with Big Bang booms.
Well, Tracy, that while all of that is true, and I'm not, I am not saying, oh gosh, no, I don't believe that scenario, but the economy is the economy, and it's going to do what it does, whether we pay attention to it or not.
Well, Victoria tells me, this is kind of a response to her past.
Mm-hmm.
In 1991, when we went to war in Iraq the first time, Kuwait, she said, you know, bankruptcies just froze. Now, we were practically in a little mini recession at the time. She said bankruptcies just froze. Everyone just froze in position, waiting to see what was going to happen. We might
end up in a situation. But the economy didn't
freeze. For all practical purposes, it did. You know, nobody did anything drastic. Everybody just kind of went on its, you know, whatever, what it, wherever it was, whatever it was doing at the time, it just stayed in that position. And that's kind of what I'm concerned by, is if this actually happens, that we might actually be in the same situation. Whereas the economy, there's nothing to stop it from continuing to go down. You're right.
Right, right.
But it will really go down if people are, you know, concentrating on it and realizing how bad the situation is. But if nobody's concentrating on it, it's going to continue its slide, but nobody's going to be paying attention to it and doing things that would make the slide worse.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in my view, this isn't a situation where you do something and it's going to make it worse. It's if you do not do something, it is going to get worse. And that something is add jobs.
Well, I don't think Obama has any ability to do anything in any way that's going to do anything but make it worse. And I think, you know, you and I agree on this.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
last thing we need is government trying to fix things. And both of us have exactly the same point of view, that if government,
yeah.
if the problem exists and government sits down, shuts up, and doesn't do anything, odds are we're going to be in better shape than if it actually tries to fix it.
That's true. That is true. I will agree with that.
So if things go really to hell in a handbasket at the end of August, beginning of September, at the same time that, you know, that two belligerents are practically standing nose to nose with, you know, nuclear weapons in their back pocket, Obama's going to be so distracted, he's not going to do anything else. And that's kind of good.
Well, that part is good. Now, if you could tell me that Congress is also going to be so distracted that they won't do anything, now we're talking about something.
I think Congress, by the beginning of September, is going to realize how many of them are going to be needing to look for a job.
Well, that's true. Yep. A lot of them.
A lot of them, and...
Yep.
I don't think anything is going to be, you know, I don't think anything can be done under that set of circumstances.
Well, yeah, except
I think we're getting close to the point where Congress is being froze out of being able to do anything.
Yeah, but there, I mean, you know, you always have that paroxysm of activity trying to pass an agenda that is demonstrably not good for the United States of America, but would certainly further the claims of people, well, yeah, maybe we're out, but by God, we got this stuff passed.
Except for all the things that they'd want to get passed are the things that people absolutely don't want them to be passing.
Exactly. I know.
40 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, Just Me, Pammy, Mama Gurkha, Arkansas Traveler, Hallie Five, Mama Gurkha, Louisa Ma, thanks for listening. We appreciate that a whole bunch. Hope you got something out of this.
Yeah. Bill, have a good week. We will
talk
next week, and
yep.
we will find out, you know, if the oil is still running, if the,
yeah, right.
you know, the economy is still failing. Yeah, all right, we'll definitely. Talk to you later.
Good night.
To the green room.
Yes. Cool.
All right.
Actually, the thing that I really worry about is that paroxysm. I really do worry about that. At that point, they don't have anything left to lose.
Yeah, but like I said, everything that they want to try and pass at this point is, you know, poison.
Well, that hasn't kept them from passing it anyway.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, and they still got card check. They still got cap and tax. You know, I don't know. It may be one of those things we have to wait and see, but good grief.
Well, we're roughly 3 weeks away from moving.
Yes, you are.
CJ will be done with school at the end of the week.
Yeah.
She's into the middle of, she's into finals at this point. We will probably know what the status of the office is going to be by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's sold or whether we're hiring somebody to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria's kidneys are on the downward spiral. We're not talking about just bad. We're talking about actively failing.
Oh, boy.
If she has already said it. If she could, she'd be on dialysis right now. Going on dialysis right now creates a huge problem for us being able to move.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but she absolutely wants to get set up as soon as we get out there. You know, as soon as we go, she wants to be set up to go. So, she's feeling like shit.
Mm.
Mm. So, it's the time has come.
Yep.
We had hoped that we would make it through the end of the year, but we're not going to make it into the summer.
Boy. Not good.
Not good.
No.
It's so much of life right now is coming to an odd head.
Yeah.
That if this was 2012,
mm-hmm.
I think I might become religious again.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay. Jeez.
Wars and rumors of wars.
Yep.
You know,
all of that good stuff.
All the climate. You know, did you hear the news that they're expecting, because of the weather, they're expecting horrible locust problems this year?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they're expecting horrible locust problems this year.
Oh, boy.
As the summer progresses.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit there and kind of go, I'm sitting here all fat, dumb, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And going, shit could hit the fan at any time.
Oh, yeah.
And when it hits, it's going to be a shitstorm.
Oh, man. Yes.
Because there's nothing, Obama, literally, the United States government has nothing. It has nothing. There's nothing left for it to do to stop anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have shot their wad when it comes to stimulus.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nothing to do there. And nobody's going to buy into the idea of them nationalizing, the financial system, because
mm-hmm.
everyone believes that they've already done it anyways.
Yeah.
And so much of it is too big to fail that you know, well, I can use an example. I haven't told anybody about this. I did something a little bit stupid yesterday.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
I have a little bit of a problem with asthma.
Okay.
A little bit of a problem. And when I go to the grocery store and I know I'm going to have to do a lot of wandering, I'll take the cart. You know, I'll take the little motorized cart.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, if I'm going in and I'm just getting a couple things, I know where I'm going, I go in, stuff like that, I don't worry about it. But if I'm going to do a shopping where I'm going to have to go aisle after aisle after aisle after aisle after aisle, I get a cart. Anyways, I was going to have to do some shopping yesterday, and I took the cart. And I was going to go down this aisle, and somebody was coming really quickly, and I had to abruptly cut short. And I cut the corner just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I snagged one of the displays.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And I pulled it. I only pulled it a little bit, just, you know, like 4 or 5 inches, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a display of Planters peanuts.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
In jars.
Oh, Lord.
In jars.
Oh, in glass jars?
In glass jars.
Oh, man. Oh.
27.
Oh, man. Jeez.
You know, I felt really, really bad about it because, you know, once it started happening, I turned and grabbed, and I was sitting there, and the woman that almost cut me off, she was going, oh, and she helped, and the two of us are standing there. Well, I'm sitting, she's standing, you know, she's standing, I'm sitting in a pile of broken jars and peanuts as we're trying to hold this display from falling over anymore.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
And we're both going, little bit of help here!
Yeah, really?
Little bit of help! You know, and finally somebody, you know, two workers from the store came and started, you know, grabbing, pulling stuff and, you know, moving stuff. By this time, there was like 20 people trying to, you know, grab and stuff like that. And that's kind of what I'm thinking is that, you know, when this happens, you know, there's not much you can do. You can grab all you want. The jar's just going to keep falling and breaking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Obama doesn't know how to handle a crisis, and he's going to get handed one that's just going to be, you know, beyond his ability to even comprehend, and we've already shot all of our rounds that we could shoot in this thing. You know, what are they going to do, put the interest rates at zero? They're there now. You know, what are they going to do, put $2 trillion worth of money into the markets? They've already done that.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have the money to be able to do that. They can't stimulate the economy anymore. We're going into the winter, so there's no hope of doing any kind of stimulus that's going to, you know, kickstart, you know, government stuff like that. And, you know, the states, there's no money from the federal government, from the states. By this summer, you know, we're going to have 20 or 30 states that are going to be laying off huge quantities of, you know, public sector employees.
Oh, absolutely.
The state's going to have no choice.
Exactly.
What's going to happen right now is, you know, the end of the school year is going on. Lots of them, teachers are going to go off onto summer break. Well, they're not coming back.
That can't happen in California. They have to have gotten their layoff notices by, I think it's May something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who else are going to lay off?
I don't know, dog catchers, police.
Firemen.
Well, you know what? That's true, though. Police and fire. It's what they do every time. Oh, well, we're just going to have to lay off all the policemen and all the firemen. We're gonna teach you voters, by God.
And if in fact the Middle East is in a shitstorm, you know, Obama has a hard time handling one thing at a time. He's not gonna be able to handle two.
No, Or three.
No, let's be really realistic. He can't handle one thing at a time. Two is simply just going to make him have a heart attack.
Yep. Well, you know, maybe that's the answer. I don't know.
I'm not hoping that Obama has a heart attack.
No. I'm just saying. But
he's
a
black male that smokes.
Yeah,
and he's 48.
True. Yep, that's true.
He's a freaking heart attack waiting to happen.
Okay, FBI and Secret Service, if you're listening, I'm not wishing the guy any ill, but man, that would sure solve a lot of problems.
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
Sure would.
Joe Biden? Are you
sure.
crazy?
I mean, he can't do anything, but he's not malevolent. I mean, I'll take incompetence without malevolence any day.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is Biden would be a great caretaker president.
Biden would be a great incompetent caretaker until we can finally get somebody in there that knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah,
and at this point, I don't care what party they belong to. I just want somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
But the problem is, and I've just stated it, the problem is that we need something that would be active, and we don't have anybody that could do anything active.
Well, not on that side of the aisle. No, that's true.
Yeah, economically, if the shitstorm happens, economically, they don't have any ammunition. You know, you could have Jim DeMint as president. You could have Christie as president. It wouldn't make any difference at this point.
I think you went too far there. Let me tell you. Let's see. Can we start counting up the bureaucracies that we get rid of? Sure. Department of Energy, Department of Education, EPA.
Time.
You don't come into work tomorrow, you're fired.
Well, I'd certainly like, you know, to have somebody like that actually in place if that were to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it happening.
No.
And
But I am saying that is a way to do it.
Well, we could certainly implement Tracy's reset.
Oh, back to when?
No. Tracy's reset. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We freeze out all of the agencies that are absolutely not necessary, and
mm-hmm.
we stop collecting all federal taxes of all forms immediately. You know, for one
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
That could arrest the slide. I don't think it can stop it. I think it just slows it down.
Ooh. I don't know. We become a safe haven again.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't have anybody with the cojones to do it.
No, we don't. That's true. That's true.
You know, we can have all these great ideas, but you know, the fact of the matter is that the people that actually would be necessary to implement it don't exist.
Well, I think they exist, but I think that they don't have an ability to actually get it done.
They're not in a position to do so.
Well, no. Well, even if they were in a position, I don't think that they have an ability. I mean, the presidency is really a bully pulpit. That's all it really is.
Who did I say that to? I didn't say that it was a bully pulpit. I said the president of the United States is one person that runs one-third of the government that runs, you know,
yep.
one-third of the groups that run the little bit of government that, you know, exists in the very large country of the United States.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know. Yep. Right. The government does not run the country.
No, absolutely not.
And it's a freight train that's jumped the tracks, and, you know, at this point, that's all I think it is. You know, and I'll admit this. We could be just crazy doom and gloomers.
We could. That's possible.
It's possible. It's possible that over the next 15 days, the oil is going to be capped, that they're going to come up with some way to finance things, and the economy is going to start stabilizing, and, you know, 400,000 people find new jobs in August,
mm-hmm.
instead of 800,000 people losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all possible. And I could win the lottery tomorrow.
You could.
I think the odds of me winning the lottery tomorrow are better.
Yeah, probably. That wouldn't surprise me. You betcha.
All right.
Okay.
Enough doom and gloom.
Yes. You betcha.
Let's take one more look and see where things are. South Carolina, 99.6% of the precincts. Haley has 48.8% of the vote. She will be going into a runoff with, I think his name is Neil Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in second place. In Arkansas, Lincoln has been declared the winner with 90% of the precinct supporting, 51.8% of the vote.
Yeah.
Politico is calling it Lincoln stuns Halter. I think it's a loss for Obama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think Lincoln doesn't survive November, frankly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
Halter wouldn't have survived it either, but at least he wouldn't have had the baggage that
Lincoln does.
Had.
That's true.
So,
that's true. Yep.
In Nevada,
Harry Reid, of course, is trouncing Alex Miller. But for United States Senator Republican, Sharon Angle has got about a 300-vote lead on Sue Loudon. And for governor on the Republican side, Brian Sandoval is just killing Jim Gibbons, who is the incumbent.
And they're already calling Sandoval the winner.
Oh, are they? Cool.
They are.
Excellent. I just wish this thing would update. I keep hitting refresh, but it doesn't change the votes on Angle and Loudon. Hmm.
So, and I think if I remember right, I don't know how that governor's race, you know, is running, but it's, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a good Republican win in November there.
In Nevada?
Yeah.
I guess that's really going to depend on the premier race there for United States Senator.
Do you want to know about California?
If you've got it, because I've got California pulled up here too, but they aren't giving me anything. Now they are. Okay.
With practically nothing going on. For Carly's leading on the Senate side,
big time,
and Whitman is leading on in the governor side, big time. So, all right, but those numbers are really really small. All right,
yep.
We'll talk about those next week.
Okay, cool.
William, have a good weekend.
You
we
too.
Will talk to you.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Talk to you
actually,
later.
You and I will talk tomorrow.
Actually, maybe. I have got a tax meeting to attend tomorrow for the schools here. So I don't know that I'm going to be on that conference call.
Okay. Well, it's earlier tomorrow.
What time?
6 your time.
Oh, yeah, I can probably be on it for about a half an hour then.
Okay.
Okay, I will
talk to you
then. Good
night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye.